You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The College Football Experience Week 8 2022 College Football Season Preview Episode. On the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, presented by WinBet. Bet $50 at WinBet and get $200 in free bets. Bet big, win bigger with WinBet. Download the WinBet app now or visit winbet.com. That's WynNBet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Sleeper. You already play fantasy in Sleeper, but now you can win cold hard cash with their over under game. Just head to sleeper.com/SGP on your phone to join the SGPN group, and Sleeper will automatically match your first deposit up to $100 at sleeper.com/SGP. We're also brought to you by us. Yes, the SGPN app. Make sure you download that thing and enter our free $250 US Open contest. Just download the SGPN app in the App Store and hit the contest tab and then let it ride.
This is Brian Bosworth, AKA The Boz, and you're listening to SGPN. Let it ride, brother. Peace out. Boz out.
Football preview. My name is Colby Swinging Database Dan, aka Pick Dundee. That's not a pick. This is a pick.
Nobody knows nothing.
Somebody knows. Double the price, but no one touches Dundee.
Oh, we're 8 weeks deep. Yes, we have a week zero preview. Actually, this will be 9 weeks deep. Go back and listen to all our episodes and make sure you subscribe on YouTube. We're over here on YouTube, breaking down all 131 teams in the FBS. We have a solo podcast for every team in the land happening. All right. And there's a bunch already released. So hop in and check that stuff out because I think you will dig it. All right. I am joined by my co-host, former JMU Duke defensive back. Give it up for the burrito eating, sideline kiss stealing, wheeling and dealing, Patty C in the place to be.
Hello. Well.
It's easy to see a tide turn.
Yes. And we are joined by third man in the booth, the DFS god himself. Give it up for the rooftop IPA drinking. Brew making, Tobacco Road living, the free lag giving, former Herndon Basketball League MVP, give it up for NC Nick in the place to be.
There we go, guys. I got booted off like two words into this podcast, so fingers are crossed for some decent internet this evening.
It's a lie! The evidence has been falsified. It's impossible. I never broke the law. I am the law.
Right. If you're brand new, if you're just tuning into us now, subscribe, check us out. But we are drafting the top 30 games of each and every week. And right now we're on week 8. So, let's get busy on this because look, the college football season, we're only 70 some days away. It's right around the corner. And things are only going to get ramped up more and more as the season gets closer. So and
week 8 is also about the midway point in the season here. So, it's only going to be heating up from here.
Exactly. With the first pick.
Jumping right in.
In the, yeah, I mean, do we want to touch on, is there any real big news? I mean, I guess I don't think there's any real big news. I mean, Texas A&M, you know, state papers came out, public, you know, what is that when they, the public gets the right to see them.
Yeah.
And they tried to get Nick Saban suspended or fined.
Freedom of,
Freedom of Information Act. Yeah.
I mean, entertaining, sure. Not really surprising, I guess, coming from A&M. They seem to have a stick up their ass. They definitely have it out for Alabama, and good for them. They got it done last year. I like it. It's fun.
Yeah,
where,
but I mean,
where was this Freedom of Information Act with like Epstein?
It only applies in much less consequential situations.
Yeah, we can hear something about Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban. Perfect.
if one college football coach would have visited Epstein Island, who would have been? Oh.
That's a pretty rough.
I can see Lane Kiffin had done
that. You see his prom pictures.
That's true. It's true.
He's standing with like 500. 17-year-old girls with a creepy smile.
Les Miles would have been my vote. Yeah. Seemed like Les Miles what it might have accidentally found up there.
Hugh Freeze, you never know.
Yeah, what his you never know.
Preferences,
I mean,
are. All right.
Bielma, maybe? What do you think?
No, I don't think he like. I did have that photo of him. Did you remember? I remember. He's like. It looks like he's in Cancun with like a pitcher of beer, just hammered.
Creepy uncle energy a little bit.
Maybe he was at Epstein Island, not Cancun.
I don't know. There was a lot of people in the background there. That looks like a bar, but yeah, you know, you never know. You never know. But I like this game. The Epstein game for college football.
I'm
coaches.
Sure you do like this game.
We'll have to come up with a graphic and put it on Twitter. Like our pick in each conference, the coach most likely to go to Epstein Island.
Yeah. Let's quickly go through ACC. Who do you think would be on Epstein Island most out of the whole ACC? You got what? Halfley, Babers, Dabo might, you know, he might be a leading candidate.
Undercover.
I could see Norvell or Mac Brown. Mac Brown, yeah.
He's a president. He's like a politician. You know, he puts on this nice face in front of the cameras, but who is he really?
And that's a very, you know, when he was at University of Texas, that's a lot of power. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he might've got flown out there, Texas and Arkansas right there. You know, Clinton went like 1,000 times, right? Maybe he brought his friend Mac with him.
You think Mac Brown's part of the, Bilderberg squad? I mean, we kind of got off track here.
Yeah, look, they're the Tar Heels. I could see him taking like a lamb's head and putting it on his head.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
It's just part of the warm-up. It's a pregame speech, right?
Or is
there.
That a ram? I don't know what the fuck that is. What is a Tar Heel?
It's a ram.
Yeah. I could see that. Couldn't you see him wearing like a ram mask, Mac Brown?
Sure, why not?
Trying to picture it. Not really seeing it, but okay. Okay.
I just went with it. Sometimes it's easier to just agree.
The Mac Brown one's really funny. I mean, I think you might be onto
There's
something
a lot
too.
A lot of things that
Mac Brown
point to Mac Brown.
I would put him, if we're making odds, he would be like at least top five for FBS coaches.
As a what?
Chances of being on Epstein Island at some point. No, I mean, he might have just been there having a nice dinner.
So is that what we're accusing here? Because there's a distinction, I think, that needs to be.
That's true. That is true. Look, I'm just saying that they could have stepped foot on Epstein Island. I'm not accusing anything else.
Okay.
Chris Tucker was on that fucking list. Well, no one saw that one coming.
Sure. Who enjoys a nice dinner? I'm sure Mac Brown's up there.
Yeah, some people might have went there not exactly knowing what was going on.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you all time.
Wasn't like Bill Nye there? I'm pretty sure Bill Nye. You think Bill Nye is really doing that? I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that,
Bill Nye ended up at some type of science fair there, and then they tried to blackmail him. You know, I could totally see something like that happening.
Sandusky helped him create Epstein Island. Okay.
How you doing? You're rocking with the college football derailed. Experience. Subscribe. Tell a friend.
Maybe Patty C should have just made that first pick.
Yeah. You're trying to get your first pick, you prick bastard.
I'll say this, other news, American Conference. Had they already been given the green light for 2023?
Oh, that is news. Big 12 and the AAC
come to terms.
Well, the AAC next year. So starting next July, you will have what? North Texas, Rice, UTSA, Florida Atlantic. Who the fuck else am I forgetting?
Charlotte, did you say?
UAB and okay. Charlotte in the new AAC and also the Big 12 will have at least, it's looking like two years of Texas, Oklahoma mixed with UCF, Houston, BYU and Cincinnati, which I think is great for the Houston, Texas.
Hopefully at least 1 year. Hopefully,
you know,
if that comes to fruition, that's a loaded conference. Yeah,
that's true. And basketball too is going to be fucking great.
Definitely.
No, but I mean, I think that's a done deal. I mean, now obviously the Texas Oklahoma exit. You know,
I'm still waiting for them to pay up and leave early.
Someone brought up a good point, and I don't know who the hell I was reading. I want to say it might have been. The Athletic that they don't want to leave early as far as it's a 14 playoff because their odds of them getting to the playoffs are much less likely. They thought that this move to the SEC was going to be pending the 12 team playoff. So now in a way they kind of want to wait it out, hoping for a new TV deal for a playoff contract.
Yeah. I mean, but if they go and join the SEC, they get money. If any SEC team makes the playoff.
True. But I also,
and that's more likely than a Big 12 team.
But if you're Oklahoma and you think you can get a playoff spot or get the money when Alabama gets a playoff spot,
in my opinion, their chances go way the fuck down by joining the SEC.
But then it's almost like, why are you joining the SEC to begin with anyway? Unless they're assuming,
well, they thought it was a 12 team playoff. Yeah, that was part of the deal. I think. I mean, it seems like Sankey was very surprised that it did not get picked up. But
gotcha.
I kind of love it in a way. I mean, as much as I want to see a bigger playoff, I think
nice little counterpunch.
Yeah, I think the ACC, Big 10, and Pac 12 had to do that. So, all right, Patty C, you got the first pick of the draft. We are not referring to Epstein Island here. What are you doing?
Not any absolute heaters on the slate this week, I don't think, but some games that could be pivotal in several league races, but I'm just going to go with two teams that have had pretty good seasons recently. One with an excellent season in LSU, just what, 2-3 years ago now, I guess they're national champions. In Death Valley, hosting Ole Miss, who went 10-2 last year. We'll see if Lane Kiffin can keep it going with a new quarterback as his trigger man and a new offensive coordinator. But you got to figure they have the advantage based off of last year.
Do you actually think Ole Miss was good last year? Or do you think that was kind of like a Michigan State year that, like, I'm curious your opinion. Like, okay, I think Michigan State was very lucky last year.
Yeah.
Tennessee and Ole Miss, do you believe they are officially like back? Or I don't even know if Ole Miss is back, but do you think Ole Miss was legit? Because we saw them lose to Baylor in the bowl game.
It's tough without Matt Corral there to like really judge that. Although putting up 7 points, not that impressive. I think they were good. I think Lebby was a big part of that, but it remains to be seen how much of a part of it, because Kiffin can coach some offense too. And LSU, I just figured they're going to be good under Brian Kelly.
I'm not knocking the game because this week's, I'm just saying, are you guys buying in that Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss are legit?
Well, there's different levels of legit.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't, you know, national championship worthy. You know, they weren't contenders for that. They're not that legit, but they were in a group of teams anywhere between 10 and 30. You know, they were 8-4. I think, you know, I think they're legit that they'll be in that same ballpark.
They were
10-2
last year. But
okay, so 10-2, I think, really, are they really like a double digit win team? Probably not. I would probably, you know, I think they got pretty fortunate to rack up that many wins when they're probably more like an 8-4 caliber team.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Well, that's what I was gonna say is like, what did they finish in the, do we know that on off the
rankings?
Top of my head? Yeah, like are they top 15?
I don't pay attention to rankings at all.
I will dig that up in just a second, but
I actually had this game number one also. Because like we were saying, not only there's no like, you know, top games up top, no premier matchups, but there's not a whole lot of depth either. This is a pretty shitty week, to be honest.
Well, their AP postseason, which I don't know if that includes the final week of the regular or the bowl game rather, was 11.
See, I mean, don't you think that was a little bit
Yeah, it's a little bit high, probably.
A little bit overrated there. But
I mean, the only two losses were on the road at Alabama and on the road at Auburn.
That's pretty good.
But I do think, yes, that, I mean, the escape against Arkansas seemed like it was a little bit counterfeit, even though Arkansas.
I mean, I think they struggled with Vandy. I think they still got a 14.
Tell me they beat Arkansas. They beat A&M. They beat Mississippi State.
True.
They beat Tennessee on the road.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a very good year, and Corral was excellent.
But
all
that's
year.
What I'm asking is, like, was this a 1 year thing, or do you believe that this is?
I think they have some staying power. I think they have some staying power to be around the 8-9. You know, I'd be surprised if they won 10 this year.
Yeah.
That schedule, though, if you look at their schedule this year, out of conference, they could win 10 games this year. Look, because they get Kentucky and Vanderbilt from the East, and then their out of conference games are Troy, Central Arkansas, Georgia Tech, and Tulsa.
I mean,
so you're talking, that's like six wins right there. That's six wins without playing any good opponents.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, right off the bat, they should probably be 6-0. They should be favored in all of those, right? Getting Kentucky at home, that being the biggest challenge.
Yeah, they'll be favored. Even I think they're going to be favored in the Auburn game.
So if they're 7-0 coming into this game,
if you manipulate that schedule enough, you can make any above average team look better than what they are.
That's true.
Yeah.
LSU in the meantime opens with who over the first 7 weeks? I got it going in the wrong direction.
They don't have a strong out of conference schedule either, but still. I think it's the best game on the slate. It's just crazy because I cannot remember a point in my life where Ole Miss LSU was the game I had to watch.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, I watched their games, but I'm saying for it to be number one of the week.
Yeah.
Is like, I've never been like, oh, let me make sure I catch Ole Miss and LSU.
I mean, part of it now is the whole Kiffin versus Kelly. Also that adds a lot of intrigue. You have two interesting coaches. We all want to see what Kelly's going to do at LSU. Whatever, wherever Kiffin goes, you know, eyeballs are going to follow. So yeah, I mean, it should be a fun game. And LSU had won five in a row before last year's 31-17 Ole Miss win in Oxford.
There you go.
There we go.
Ole Miss is second most played team in the history of their program to Mississippi State.
I think it's a good rivalry. I just think I it's never been the number one, or it hasn't never been in my mind like a top three or four game
in any week.
In any week in my life.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh,
here we have it.
Yeah, let's go. Number one. All right, NC Nick, you are on the clock.
Well, I'm going to hit you with another one that might not be ever like in the top three or top five or something. I want to take you out to the Pac-12, UCLA at Oregon. It's Chip Kelly versus old squad, obviously. Last two games have been 34-31 and 38-35 Duck wins.
The last time was incredibly lucky.
Yeah, yeah.
Because DTR got knocked out, and that was the difference in the game.
UCLA just 1-9 in the last 10 versus Oregon. But it's a big matchup, you know, because I think, you know, throw USC in the mix, and that's probably the three favorites. Oh, and Utah. That's the four favorites in the Pac-12. So this is two of them.
I actually think this is the second best game of the week.
Jeez, I mean, we're agreeing so far. All right.
I mean, maybe you can make a case for one other game that stands out to me in going on in the Big 12, but I think this is right there with it.
DTR being, you know, what, a 6 year senior now,
thereabouts.
Could they be on a heater going into this game? They're coming off a bye, UCLA. Granted, they will have hosted Washington and Utah back to back weeks going into that bye. But I think that'll give them good time to recover from that. If they can even get one of those, and they're coming into this game 5-1,
I think they're contenders in the Pac-12 to win the championship this year, UCLA.
One quick note though, both teams are coming off a bye.
Oregon,
but, you know, DTR is a very good quarterback, but he underwhelmed me a little bit last year. Yeah. I thought coming in, he had like Heisman hopeful potential.
I think it depends on the game. Certain games, he looked really fucking good. And other games, I felt like I never thought he was terrible, but I also thought like he kind of like didn't make a big enough statement. But I mean, there was a couple games where I saw him where I was like, maybe it was the USC game where I thought, damn, he's fucking good. But I don't know. You're right. And we'll see what he does this year.
You know, he kind of reminds me of Everett Golson. took his team to the title, you know, got destroyed by Alabama, but
yeah,
had a good run, speedster, you know, with the right kind of, under a another Coach Kelly. So maybe we're having a 2012 redux here.
There you go. There you go. All right. Well, what do you think of that game, Patty? See, Oregon, UCLA.
I like it. I got to have two, what would you say, kind of glamour programs in the Pac-12 going at it. Makes for fun viewing. Autzen Stadium, a nice environment.
I did have this game ranked third in my mind, but I think it's right there with the game that I'm about to play. I'm taking you to Stillwater.
There we go.
Come on, Mike Gundy. You know he hates Texas and Oklahoma. There's only a few more opportunities for this to happen.
Maybe the last time he gets
In Stillwater. Yeah. So you know he's going to want this one. And then you have the Texas thing. Can they actually? I want to say Gundy has owned Texas.
They're 8-4 since 2010 against Texas. Mm, so at one point Texas owned the series 22-2. And then in starting in 2010, Oklahoma State, like I said, won 8 out of the next 12. So Gundy, I mean, just remarkable job. Just like you said, owning Texas, basically winning 2/3 of the games.
Gundy took over in 2005. So he must've gotten hit a few times before that 2010, right. But then took it over.
Yeah. Yeah, but still incredible work. This game's fantastic. Hey, look, as much as we hate Texas, but they're must-watch TV because of that.
Yes,
you know, like I feel like each week, and then Oklahoma State, obviously being a yard away or half a yard away from an inch away from the. From the Invitational,
we all know why Duke has the best ratings in basketball, because at least half the people watching are haters. So yeah, you know, you like to watch the team that you hate so you can root against them almost as much as rooting for the team that you like.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is my pick. It bounces back to Patty C.
Ooh, taking a look at this schedule. I almost feel like it drops off pretty substantially already.
That was, I think, an obvious top three. I'd agree. From here, you could go in so many directions.
Yeah. So many different angles could make for a potentially interesting matchup. Ugh. There's one way down Colby's list that strikes my fancy a little bit just because.
I mean, I just threw together that list really fast. So okay. Don't
take it to heart. Yeah, here.
I wasn't going in strength of game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, I think you did it pretty well for the most part. I'm gonna rely on Iowa having a decent season again under Kirk Ferentz. The only problem is Ohio State playing at home, and Iowa, more so Iowa on the road, is not the best team travel wise.
This is a risky play because obviously you like it because of the winning pedigree, but there's still a solid chance Ohio State wins by 40.
Yeah.
Last time Iowa won in Columbus was 1991.
Yikes.
7 straight losses. I mean, obviously they don't play there every year being in different divisions, but 7 straight losses, you know, at Ohio State. If it was in Iowa City, this game would be number one.
It would be number one, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Because we just saw in 2017, Iowa beat Ohio State.
That wasn't even close. They whooped their ass, right?
It's 2000. Yeah. That was a blowout. And I think go back to 2004, I think, too. Iowa won at home. On the road, that's a whole other animal, though.
Well, Iowa just doesn't have the type of team that really plays great on the road. They don't have playmakers. Like the conservative approach only. The floodgates get open and then boom, they're done because they're not the type of team that can battle back from double digits, you know? Like,
yeah, they just don't have Michigan probably doesn't even have Ohio State speed, and Michigan absolutely torched them last year in the Big Ten championship game. I figure Ohio State will probably do the same thing at home, but Ohio State's defense being the question mark that it has been opens the door just a little bit
for Iowa's offense. I don't know. I don't know about that. Wait, is it Spencer? Spencer Petras?
Spencer Petras is going to go off on the Buckeyes.
Well, going off for him is like what, $150?
He's never gone off in his life. Touchdowns, right?
Nick, what do you make of this game?
Yeah, you know, why not? I had it right in the same general area because it's potentially the best team in the West and the best team in the East. But you're right, it could get ugly in Columbus. But you got to play something here. So, right. I mean, exactly. I'll be watching it. You know, it's definitely a game that I'll be tuning in for at least a good chunk of it, you know, unless it becomes a blowout quickly.
Sometimes it may be good. Sometimes it may be shit.
Mm-hmm. All right. NC Knicks on the clock.
I want to take you to a weekday game, but I'm probably one round too early. So I'll go with a very similar matchup because if it was in Stark Vegas, maybe Mississippi State has a chance, but I'm talking about Mississippi State at Alabama. So far, Mike Leach against the Tide, 49-9 and 41-0. I mentioned on the Alabama podcast that we were doing together, it seems like Leach struggles with some of those, you know, really big, really athletic, really physical teams. Like at Washington State, he was never good against Washington. I got a hunch it's kind of how it's going to be against Alabama. I mean, most teams aren't very good against Alabama, especially on the road, though. They probably don't have much of a chance here, but hey, man, you never know. I guess you got a puncher's chance at least.
What do you think of Mississippi State at Alabama, Patty C?
Well, obviously Alabama being the blue blood with all the recruits that they get, especially the big guys in the trenches. You know, the whole idea of the air raid offense is to nullify that advantage in the trenches and just get the ball out to the perimeter and all over the place and take those guys out of the game. But for whatever reason, and I think with the spread, maybe it was like, I know Oregon had trouble with like Auburn defensive line, just destroying their offensive line. And so apparently that you can't get that out of the game. And so maybe that's a thing. Plus Alabama also has superior skill position players too. So,
and I don't think Leach has got it there yet. Remember year one, throw that 40-0 out of there. He didn't even have spring ball.
Sure.
COVID was, you know, a big thing. But last year, obviously they got their ass whooped by him. It's right after the Texas A&M game. But I still think he's a year away. You remember back when Texas Tech beat Texas when they had Mac Brown, it took some time. It took a few years for that thing to get working.
That's true. They're inching closer to that. Yeah. A respectable game here would be a nice improvement for Leach. And then maybe with Will Rogers going into what, year three?
Yeah.
They could be a threat next year back
in Starkville.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, here we go. I'm taking you to Colorado Springs.
Nice.
Where Boise State has a ton of problems with Air Force with Troy Calhoun. What do you mean, whoa?
Here's Colby, how to play a triple option.
Well, I actually find it. I was telling Patty C today while we were talking Boise State, they went to the air raid. They were 7-5, one of their worst years in a long time. And they were terrible with defending the run and also running the football. And I said, man, they have a, you know, Avalos making that decision to go air raid with Boise could hurt because there are some really physical teams in the Mountain West. When I think of Wyoming, physical, when I think of Air Force, physical, when I think of San Diego State, physical, and all three of those, I think are going to be problems for Boise State this year. Upset in Colorado Springs, Air Force beats Boise State for the second year in a row.
I like it. We're about to do our Boise State preview.
6-4 in their last 10, Boise State is against Air Force.
Yeah, it's still a winning record, but I'm imagining
not,
on the
not
road,
their last 10, they're only 10.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I really believe Boise State, despite having Bachmeyer back and some key pieces,
they're still down a little bit.
Well, and you kind of took away before they were more pro style. They had some running identity with Doug Martin and some of those other running backs they've had there.
Yeah.
I don't know why they're doing it because they still have good running backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even when Boise was like, you know, firing on all cylinders, like 7-8 years ago, there was a stretch where Air Force won three games in a row from, you know, 14, 15 and 16. So Boise has always had fits with that Air Force triple option. Should be a close game this year too.
This should be a Thursday nighter. Well, actually shit, on this Saturday, it should be prime time. All right.
Yeah. And you know what? The weekday games aren't very good this week either. So yeah, put this anywhere. I'll probably tune into some of it. Sure.
Yeah. Boise State at Air Force.
We're looking at Boise's recruiting rankings, and they, while they're back in the 60s overall, they've been right at the top, and their composite ranking has always been number one in the conference talent wise. So that allows you to run that pro style offense, that diverse stuff, but that doesn't mean you're going to be able to stop the triple option. So
yeah. Yeah.
What week is this? Is week weather? Eight. Are we going to maybe see some snow in Colorado Springs?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It's get some October 22nd. So not probably not, but you never know.
Maybe. Colorado Springs, that could be snow.
There you never know. Yeah. Could be.
Come on now. Let's root for some snow. All right. All right. Patty C, you're back on the clock.
Oh, boy. I mean, let me take you to a game that I'm kind of interested in just because I think both of these teams are quality programs and are talented programs. It's in the Pac-12. We are going to Palo Alto, where the Arizona State Sun Devils will be visiting the Stanford Cardinal.
Whoa.
What do you think?
I think
a tad high.
Yes. A tad high.
I mean, are we not talking about one of the more talented programs in the Pac-12 in Arizona State, and one of the more successful programs over the past decade and a half in Stanford? Are we just going to sit there and we're going to, what do you want to go, like ACC action on me?
I don't know. NC Nick, he just played Arizona State at Stanford.
What pick is this?
Seven.
This is a seven?
Pick seven.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Dude, no way in hell. I understand that this is a week. but come on. No, I don't care much about this game. I just can't get around. There's gotta be something better on.
Well, you're just bored by Stanford football because it hasn't been.
I mean, they were 3-9 last year. I don't really care about Arizona State this year either, 'cause they're going to be average. There's not a whole lot of angles that make this game interesting.
Arizona State.
I still think Arizona State could be better than what people think.
Was 8-5 last year. Yeah. They only lost to Wisconsin by 7 in the bowl game. They could be above average. And I think Stanford can rebound against Shaw. He's shown that time and again that he's able to have a decent program. So
I still
think
there's a little
bit of a revenge game. Arizona State won last year, 28-10 in Tempe.
Yeah, not particularly close there, but maybe Shaw serves that dish of revenge cold, hopefully. We'll see. I don't know. There's just not a lot else out there. Give me something.
It's still a little early, I think. Still a little early. I'll give you something in a second here. No, but this would be NC Nick on the clock here.
I saved my game of the week for this round. Wednesday night Sun Belt, Georgia State at App State. Now, I know this hasn't been, it's been a very lopsided series. App State is 8-0 all time. They won last year in Hotlanta 45-16. But that game served as a turning point for Georgia State because they went 7-1 after that game.
We were waiting for
them.
They got
a lot of momentum coming into the season with Granger back at quarterback. Look, it's the only game. It's Wednesday night. What the hell else you gonna be doing? Might as well kick back, pop open some brewskis, watch some Fun Belt in Boone. I'm already getting excited for this game.
I will say you got to play in the top 10 because it's a lone weekday game, and it's by far the best of the weekday games, I think.
Agreed.
Hey, hold your tongue. There is another more interesting team
with
a more dynamic player, certainly, than anyone in this game.
Is Chase Bryce not dynamic? How about Nate Noel? We were talking about Nate Noel.
There is only one quarterback who threw for 400 yards 15 times last year.
Yeah.
Is he as dynamic as Dan Marino's wife?
No one's as dynamic as Dan Marino's wife. Let's be honest.
That is classic. On that, I feel like I have to go ahead and hit this then.
I think tide turning, as I remember, I was raised in the desert, but tides kind of turn. It's easy to see a tide turn.
Thank you.
There we go.
Did I say those words?
I think you have to get the sound clip of of W saying that one too.
Of the Dan Marino dynamic wife. I think I need to.
You should have the whole W-ism catalog.
Should just be George W.
I agree. He was fantastic. All right. So then it goes to
from a comedic standpoint.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's
from an actual.
That's all I really care about in life. That's all I really care. He has my vote. If he was able to come back, because I would get a lot more ammunition.
I don't know. Some of the stuff Biden's doing is pretty hilarious too.
That is true.
But mumbling for a different reason.
Yeah, he's asleep at the wheel. It's really weak into Bernie's. Okay. Well. I'm taking you to Madison, Wisconsin, where Purdue and Wisconsin do battle. And I think the Big Ten West could be on the line for this one. Jim Leonard, I think, will have a nice game plan for Aiden O'Connell, who's just lighting college football on fire, I feel like, with Jeff Brohm. I think this game is more meaningful than Arizona State and Stanford.
Depending on what Purdue is able to get done.
I think
Purdue might be better than Arizona State and Stanford themselves. Not even to mention Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they might be the best out of all four of these teams we're talking about.
Potentially.
The only problem with this game is that Purdue hasn't won since 2003.
In Madison, you mean?
No, overall.
In general, wow.
15 in a row for the Badgers.
It's a bad draw for them because Purdue's a little finesse team, and Wisconsin is a physical fuck you team.
And of those 15 wins, only two of them were single digits. This game's been blowout, you know. But I agree, it has to be top 10 because I do like what Purdue has coming back this year, Aiden O'Connell and company. And it could be very meaningful in the Big Ten West. So it's a top 10 game.
Yeah. Top 10 game. Patty C, you don't like my play, do you?
Oh, I think it's all right. I think you're right that it has to be played somewhere around here. And I think that if Purdue has a upset city in them, then which they have before, the spoiler makers, if you will, but that's usually at home, and going to Wisconsin is a different story. If they're able to do it, it would be legendary. They could potentially change the scene of the Big Ten West.
Yep. I mean, yeah, they probably get the tar kicked out of them, but I just feel like it's a meaningful game because the Big Ten West is on the line.
Plus you like Brohm, admit it.
I do like him because he said, "Do I have a pulse? Then let's play football."
Gotta like that guy.
All right. Before we get to Patty C's next selection, I want to tell you that the College Football Experience is brought to you by WinBet. Make sure to get down on WinBet's $50 win $200 promotion, where a $50 bet qualifies you for up to $200 in free bets. And right now they got the ultimate fantasy football experience going on, where if you bet $500 or more on sports or in the casino before July 31st, 2022, then you get entered to win the ultimate fantasy football draft experience at Encore Beach Club, including a 2-night stay at Wynn Resorts for you and your entire league. Yes, your whole league. You heard that correctly. Multiple entries are also allowed. And get this, you also get to party with DJ Diesel, right? Because all users can bet $100 on NBA or in the casino and be entered into a prize drawing to attend a DJ Diesel. Yes, that is Shaq Shaquille O'Neal, who just left like a fucking $20,000 tip or something in New York City. I read some headline like that today.
Jeez, must be nice.
But he's going to be DJing at Encore Beach Club.
How hot was that waitress?
Seriously.
When I used to be a server, when I used to wait tables, I never got a 20K tip.
You had Lavernius Coles, all right? Didn't you? Didn't he came in and what? He gave you.
He was a cool dude. No, because this drunk ass was acting an idiot, like he wanted to fight me. And Lavernius Coles stood up and said, "Hey, man, why don't you walk the other way?"
Nice.
Shout out to the
Coles is a small dude too. I mean, he's only like what, 5'8", 5'9", or something, but still, I mean, Diesel, you know,
ready to throw down. Shout out to Lavernius Coles. Great guy. Maybe next time he'll give a $20,000 tip. No, I'm joking. I think Shaq's got a little more money than Lavernius, but you can also win a trip to Wynn Las Vegas, where all users can bet $100 Thursday through Sunday on the US Open and earn an entry into a prize drawing where a winner and a guest will receive a complimentary round of golf at Wynn Golf Club and a 2-night stay at Wynn Las Vegas. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is download the WynnBET app or visit WynnBET.com. That's WynnBET.com to get started today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions apply. WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older. Present in the state where WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, guys. Patty C, it is on you.
All right. I fully expect a little flack from this pick, but I am doing so out of a little bit of a personal enjoyment factor here, which I feel like we're allowed to have, right?
Yeah, sure.
Especially this week.
Yeah, especially this week. Where I'm taking you is to, where is that game being played? Now I have to find it on the list. I believe it's being played in Provo, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
No, it's being played it's in Lynchburg. Okay, even more interesting then. We have the BYU Cougars, who have gone 11-1 and 10-3 over the past two seasons, respectively, versus the Liberty Flames, who have gone 10-1 and 8-5 over the last two seasons. Independence football at its finest, and maybe a little bit of, I can't really call BYU scumbag religious football, but I can Liberty. I feel like anytime Jerry Falwell is part of your program, but I do know they've cleaned it up a little bit. So any apologies to any Liberty folks out there. It's just kind of a fun vibe here. It's kind of like Notre Dame BYU, but junior.
I do enjoy it. Yeah. And I kind of hope that they will play a couple out of conference games when BYU joins the Big 12.
Yeah.
Nick, what do you make of BYU Liberty?
That's a solid game, and it's a long road trip for BYU. Liberty's smart. They scheduled this at like high noon or something. Yeah, BYU, they could be coming off a big win over Arkansas, so it could be a little bit of a hangover. We all want to see what Liberty is without Malik Willis. So, yeah, I think it's played in. There's one game I'm going to play next, which I think is definitely better, but I don't have too many gripes over this.
It could have a New Year's Six implication for both schools as well.
Yeah, BYU Liberty. I think it's somewhere in this vicinity. All right, somewhere in the. I think it's well played. All right,
thank you.
You got it done somewhere. It fits somewhere in here.
All right.
NC Nick.
All right. This is one of the only games where we have a time. By the way, we do have a time for that Purdue Wisconsin. That's a 3:30 Eastern time tip. Kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
But this one, 7:30 Eastern time, prime time, under the lights, it might be a whiteout. How about Minnesota at Penn State? I think it's a fun game. The two don't play very often, only four times since 2010, and it's an even 2-2 split. And the fact that it is prime time and, Happy Valley, Beaver Stadium's always fun at night.
That is true. And if memory serves me correct, this is the Joe Buck game.
Which Joe Buck game?
So, Joe Buck, Fox traded Joe Buck to ESPN.
Okay.
He was an announcer for Fox recently.
Yeah.
They traded him. So they have this draft, ESPN and Fox do, for best games, right? So their choice of what they're going to be playing.
Oh, okay.
So Fox had the first pick, and I believe they took Ohio State, Michigan. ESPN had the second, and they took, I think it was Purdue and Penn State or whatever, or I don't know whatever one it was, but ESPN wanted Joe Buck. He was going to leave after a year or two anyway for ESPN, I think. But they said, okay, well, if you give us Minnesota at Purdue
or Penn State,
I think they got the first pick.
Okay.
And Minnesota and Purdue for Joe Buck.
What if you can't just trade a guy?
Yeah. I'm telling you, this happens. No,
it's not like, a league like the NFL where, teams can trade somebody. Like, that would be like a competitor of mine in my corporate world coming to my company and trading for me. You can't do that without the person saying, okay, I'll go.
Here it is. Look, March 28th, Google search this, sportsillustrated.com.
What if the Action Network tried to trade for you?
They need to offer a lot. All right.
Hold out like freaking Eli Manning and become your own worst enemy.
I would. All right. I can't play for certain franchises.
You would go play in Canada. Fully old John LA.
Look, Fox swapped Joe Buck to ESPN for one Big Ten football game per report. That is on March 28th, sportsillustrated.com telling this story. And unfortunately it's taking forever to load. But this happened.
Why was Joe Buck so wanted anyway?
I know. I know. You know what's criminal to me?
Where's Gus Johnson?
But you know what's criminal? Like, and unfortunately, I don't know that I should say this because hopefully we will call games at some point in our life. But I don't understand the budget for the announcers. They're like, Tom Brady's gonna be making like $35 million a year. Troy Aikman's making like $50 million a year. Kirk Herbstreit. I'm sorry, but none of them are that good. All right. Like, do I think they're all solid at their job? Sure. But we're going to watch the game. It has nothing to do with the broadcasters. I have never, I mean, maybe right. back, maybe like, okay, Gus Johnson, but I still don't think I pick the game because of the announcer.
Of course not.
I mean, find it absolutely fucking crazy yeah. that they shot all this money for something that really doesn't matter.
Yeah. Whether it's,
what? I mean, if anything, I try to avoid Joe Buck. But
I mean, for me, you got multiple games on. You know, I don't care who's announcing. I really don't. You know, you're on your phone. You got the couple TVs, your laptop yeah, yeah. up. You know, you're texting with your buddies. You're on Twitter. I'm not listening to the announcers every word.
It's unbelievable. They are getting away with. It's almost like the big man in the NBA in the 90s, like the white big men. Not even white, because I just feel like all big men. Yeah, like yeah. Ike Austin when he was fat as shit. The Wizards gave him a ton of money. Jim McElwain made like a ton of money on the Seattle Supersonics. They were just criminally like. They still, in my opinion, owe the NBA everything because. I mean,
you're just there.
Yeah.
And you have to be there, but anyone could be there.
Dude, Chris Dudley got like the Blazers are like, yeah, we'll give you 100 million. Chris Dudley, look, I get it. He was a solid rebounder and a solid defender, but the guy couldn't hit shit.
He was better than Jim McElvain. I think that's that was true. The worst. That's the worst contract.
Jerome James, the Knicks gave Jerome James a ton of money. I mean, it was a pandemic. It was a legit pandemic full of big men.
Overpaid centers.
Yeah. Felton Spencer and like Ostertag. Not like COVID. Ostertag cashed out or cashed in with the Jazz.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's what we got going here with these announcers.
Who's the guy for the Bullets? Big fat guy.
Duckworth. I don't know that he, I don't know how much he cashed in.
He might have been on the early end of that.
Unfortunately, if he was like 4 years, three or four years away. Because he made an all-star game in Portland and he could have cashed in, man.
Yeah. And he would need the money for his food budget.
Dude, I remember, I want to say it was like the Hornets gave George Zedek a decent contract. You're just sitting there like, what are you doing? Like, are you watching the fucking games? You know what I mean? Like, but I'm telling you, they better send the NBA a Christmas card every fucking year. All right. Every year, because they got a pension too. Cause you get it so many years, you get the retirement.
Well, Joe Buck is getting that treatment. Cause you're right. I couldn't even pick out his voice if I heard it.
No, I'll be honest. Like Joe Buck, I'd prefer that he didn't announce the game that I was watching.
He's boring.
Yeah. I would prefer that he was not announcing the game that I was watching. Now that doesn't mean I would avoid him. If the game is the game, I'm going to watch it, but
of course.
But I just feel like there's, I mean, when they said Tom Brady, I'm sorry. I get it. Tom Brady's got a great career. Maybe the, you know, arguably the best quarterback ever. Right. But at the same time, I could give a shit about what game he is announcing. Could care less. So
very true. But now, wasn't this the game a couple years ago that, Minnesota hosted late in the season against Penn State and,
they beat him, I think. Right?
Yeah. They beat him 31-26 in a great game, but I think that had a huge impact. At the time, it might have bolstered Minnesota into contention.
I think you're right.
But I think that's what it was. They choked down the stretch because coming into that game, they were undefeated, and that was a huge game. And then they lost two of their next three. But that was the biggest moment probably in Minnesota's recent history. So maybe Penn State remembers it and wants revenge.
There we go. All right, then it bounces over to me, guys. You know, there's a game going on that is very important, and it's happening in North Carolina.
Oh,
I'm not talking Boston College, Wake Forest. This is the last time UCF will go to Greenville. And I got news for you guys. I don't know if you saw how great the fans were. Shout out to Greenville, North Carolina. And East Carolina. We believe in the Pirates, in the spirit of ECU. We believe every moment there was nothing that we couldn't do.
And if you don't have a chub or if your panties aren't wet, ladies, after listening to that saxophone, I don't know what to tell you. ECU is the sexiest team in college.
They are. And I can tell you this. They beat UCF here. Last time they go in there, Mike Houston's got a ton of this program returning. They're heading in the right direction.
They haven't had much success of late against those very Golden Knights.
Ever since that Hail Mary, we were watching that game, Patty C, that ridiculous Hail Mary that George Leary and...
Six in a row by UCF. ECU hasn't won at home since 2011.
True. That's what I'm saying. I think that was right around where that Hail Mary game, I think, was 2012. Yeah. They're going to get it done here as an exit. You know, they're going to say, all right, we'll see how you are. And going forward, I think East Carolina, they're contenders in the AAC this year. Obviously, Cincinnati's the favorite, but I think the number two spot is up for grabs between Houston, UCF, and East Carolina. And maybe you can maybe even throw SMU in there. But this is a huge game going on in Greenville, and these fans, the best in the nation. We just saw it with college baseball. That was a jolt college baseball needed. Fantastic fan experience.
That was fun.
A lot of people tweeting saying,
"Hey,
this,
down."
Yeah, yeah, just absolute. That's a shame they didn't pull it off. But yeah, what
UCF
do you guys think?
Potentially in a look ahead spot hosting Cincinnati the following week.
Yes, this is a huge look ahead spot, man.
Go on the road to ECU and take an L. That would fit the bill.
Yes, it's going to happen.
What has ECU got coming into that week? ECU hosts Memphis the following week, so at least it's a home game, but that's a tough little stretch for the old Pirates.
Pirates.
Greenville's always a tough place to play, but I think that that other American League AAC game that with other two teams that we just mentioned might be a little bit better this week.
Really? No, I think you're
we'll
not
get there.
You're just not valuing East Carolina the way you should be. Houston's got this program heading the right direction, and I think, and you know, when it's all said and done, the Big 12 is going to regret not offering East Carolina to be a part of the Big 12.
There you go.
Oh yeah,
heard it here first.
All right. So next up on the clock is Patty C. We're jumping back to you as soon as I can find this. There we go.
There is a better ACC or AAC game on this slate.
Nope.
Certainly, absolutely more relevant to the national standings, to the New Year's Six postseason, and maybe even to the Invitational. Should Cincinnati have another immaculate season, but they have to go to Dallas and get through SMU. Not an easy job. They're going to presumably take a little step back, but they had taken a step back the year before and made the playoff. So maybe, I don't know. We're going to see what Cincinnati's got, but not easy to go to Dallas.
SMU will not be as good as East Carolina this year. That's why. But still, yes, it is a road spot for the top team in the AAC. I get it. But the fans ain't going to be lit like Greenville. You want to see fans going bananas. And that's why Greenville, UCF and ECU deserve to be ahead of Cincinnati SMU. But I like this game.
I disagree. I'm with Patty here. I think this game is slightly better than UCF ECU because I have a lot of intrigue to see what Lashley does with the Mustangs this year. And it's Cincinnati on the road. And I think Cincinnati is another very interesting team because we don't know what to expect from the Desmond Ritterless Bearcats. So yeah, this one's got a very interesting matchup written all over it. I would love it to be like Friday night or something.
Ooh, does Cincinnati get through this stretch coming off a bye, back-to-back road at SMU at UCF?
No, UCF gets them. Mouths on magic.
One of them,
John Rhys Plumlee. All right. Pick 14, NC Nick.
Well, I got this one in my top 10, actually. It's the last one in my top 10 that hasn't been called yet. And I know overall the series is 8-0 all time in Texas A&M's favor. And they won 44-14 last year and limited South Carolina to under 200 yards total offense. But maybe it's a little bit different at South Carolina this year. So obviously I'm talking Texas A&M out South Carolina. I don't know. It's a decent game.
No, you got to play it here. I actually thought we were kind of sleeping on it a little bit. Thought we were sleeping on it a little bit.
We just don't know what to expect from South Carolina. If they can improve a little bit, this could be a potential, you know, tough game.
That place will be lit too. That place will be lit. So it's always great to see. What do you think of this game, Patty C? A&M at South Carolina.
I like it. We've seen South Carolina be a thorn in the side of potential title teams before, namely Georgia about two, 3 years ago.
Nick, did you say they have never beaten A&M?
No, 8-0 all time A&M.
Crazy, crazy.
Well, what is Spencer Rattler's all time record against A&M? Have they ever played?
No, I don't think they have.
They have,
yeah. So
getting my Big 12 and SEC and former Big 12,
yeah, mixed up there. But no, I think it's got to be played here. I think it's the best game remaining. All right,
South Carolina coming off a bye for that game too.
What do you think South Carolina will be like this year?
I mean, how did they? Didn't they finish last year kind of stronger? They ended up going 7-6 on the year, but their last five games were, or the last seven games were 4-3.
So, well,
that includes a win over Auburn the week before. Auburn almost beat Bama, and so I think they had gotten better. And I expect with Spencer Rattler in the mix, them to be a potential spoiler.
They're not going to win more than seven games, though.
Probably not, but they could be spoiler.
Yeah. Probably not. All right. Well, pick 15 for your boy, Pick Dundee. And I'm taking you to an off the beaten path. I think most people say, what are you doing, Colby? But this game's the past three matchups have been fantastic. Low key, Washington at California. These games have been fun. Look, so last year went to overtime. Washington won by 7 in overtime, right? That was in Seattle. They played in 2019. Cal won in Seattle again, 20-19, right? They played in 2018. Cal won in Berkeley 12-10. These have been close games, folks.
Lighting up the scoreboard.
Yes. So give me a little Wilcox against DeBauer for the first matchup. Washington at Cal in Berkeley. Let's drop acid together. Come on now. What do you guys make of this? Patty C, what do you think of it?
I like it. I mean, I guess it's about where it should be in this order here. Anytime you got to admire the Pac-12 because what you're seeing is flagship football for the most part. Either that or, you know, the second
Hippie Olympics.
What would that be?
Doesn't matter who wins because they're all losers.
Great line.
I mean, yeah, let's be honest. Neither of these teams has quite lived up to our
highest expectations. But these games have been fire, man. The past three games have been fucking really entertaining football games, man. So,
well, this could be the game that boosts one to a good season and drops one to a mediocre season. So I kind of think that's what it will be. So yeah,
I think both teams will be bowl teams this year too. Nick, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think Wilcox has kind of had their number. I think, you know, a lot of those years, Washington was by far the team that was supposed to be a lot better. And Cal was winning or sticking there right with them. I want to see Jack Plummer, you know, see what he can do out West this year as a quarterback for Cal. But you know, maybe those last three or four games were really great games. I don't think I watched any of them.
Well, that's because your time zone and the fact you have a family, so you don't subscribe to some of these Pac-12 matchups that happen late at night, but doesn't mean they aren't a great football game, NC Nick.
True. But I'm probably not going to watch this one either, to be honest with you.
Well, it's probably going to be on. I mean, you never know. Maybe, you know,
the time for this has not been announced yet.
This is going to be at definitely Pac-12 after dark. They're not going to play this.
Yeah, you're probably right.
So, all right. So
what percentage of the slate is Pac-12 after dark of the Pac-12 slate? They normally do like,
well, one year they tried like 9 AM kickoffs. It's fucking the dumbest. Larry Scott is the dumbest fucking person this side of the Mississippi because I mean, they were already having attendance problems as it was at like UCLA and some of these other institutions. And it's like, no. And look, I get it. If I love Washington or Washington State, I don't even know that I want to get up, especially if I'm a 22 year old or a 20 year old. You go out on Friday night, you're going to be up at nine in the morning is when the game kicks.
Well, in college, I assume you just stay up.
That's true. You need a lot of cocaine. but I want to say, he even tried an 8 AM kickoff for UCLA. I thought Cal played at UCLA one time and it was 8 AM that it kicked off. That's ridiculous.
It's a horrible idea.
That is the dumbest shit. I get it. You're at a disadvantage because, you know, it seems like, you know, college game day and everything goes by the East Coast, but you still don't do that.
Yeah. Right? I remember Stanford traveling to Northwestern early for like a 10 AM central kickoff.
Yeah.
Or what, it was essentially a 9 a.m. West Coast kickoff. It's like, dude, you're going on a halfway across the country to play at 9 a.m. your time. You're asking to lose. And they did. They got destroyed by a mediocre Northwestern team, and then they won like the rest of their games.
Yeah, I remember that. They were like 11-1 or 10-2.
Well, that's exactly why I said Liberty should schedule that BYU game at noon, because that is an advantage for people coming out east.
But I do remember Cal, the Golden Bears. I think Wilcox might have been his first year. They went to North Carolina, and North Carolina did that shit to him. But Cal gave him an L.
There it is.
An L. All right. That means, Patty C, you are on the clock, my friend. And here we go.
All righty then. I am going to take us back into the great state of North Carolina, where a potential ACC Atlantic matchup awaits here, where Boston College, who almost, as Colby mentioned,
undefeated with Phil Jurkovec,
undefeated
as a starting quarterback,
Phil Jurkovec, and coming off a bye is Wake Forest hosting the Screaming Eagles. A big game, especially if Wake's able to get Clemson at home a couple weeks earlier. This could potentially make or break Wake Forest's ACC Atlantic title. Boston College, one of the few teams that has a decent shot of dethroning them, or at least hurting their chances.
Do we think that Wake Forest could win the ACC this year? I mean, they return a ton. Do you think that Wake Forest could win the ACC this year, Nick?
Sure, potentially.
So this game's huge then.
Both coming off a bye. Both teams coming off a bye for this game.
Yeah. Big game. And I mean, Jurkovec played in this game last year. This game was an ugly, ugly game. It was the last game of the year.
He came off the bench though.
Okay. He went 3 of 11 for 19 yards and 2 interceptions. Should have stayed on the bench, but obviously he wasn't healthy. I think, you know, with him returning now healthy, getting the off season under his belt and everything, I think BC is going to be good this year. I expect them to go over their 6.5 Vegas over under line. So it's a fun one, and I mean, going to Wake Forest is never like there's a great, you know, home field environment there. It's not a tough place to play at. So I think this has upset potential. Wake Forest better be on their toes.
Hey, I agree. Upset because Wake Forest just isn't that much more talented than the likes of Boston College, if they are at all.
Two quarterbacks that could be among the best in college football this year.
Very true, Hartman and Jurkovec. How about Wake Forest? You mentioned you wanted to know if you thought they could win the ACC this year. They only lost to North Carolina by 3 in a 9-conference game.
They blew like a 21-point lead in the third, like late third in that game. They should have won that game.
Other than that, a loss at Clemson, a tough place to play, and Clemson always gives them problems. But after that beautiful 2-loss regular season, they were rewarded with a 5-7 Rutgers team in the bowls. Don't we think the bowl system is something that's we need to protect? Sham.
Yeah, such a fucking sham. And I know Rutgers got added late, but still, it's a sham. Anyway, it's a sham. No bowl game. Fuck them all.
Speaking
them all.
Of Rutgers, that's also BC's team they opened this season with.
Actually an interesting matchup. I mean, Shiano against Halfley, two up and coming coaches, or I don't know if Shiano's still up and coming. He's proved himself, but both programs trying to rise up.
Northeastern flavor. Good stuff.
All right. NC Nick.
You guys are going to love me. I think my next like 3 or 4 games in order, all ACC matchups. So get ready, buckle up. This one, Patty alluded to it earlier. It is a weekday game. If it was on high noon, if it was noon on a Saturday, nobody would really care. But this is Thursday night, so why not? Why not watch a Heisman hopeful like quarterback Brennan Armstrong play the Yellow Jackets on the road? I'm talking UVA at Georgia Tech.
Tough sell. I think Troy, South Alabama, is a little more appealing to me.
Overall, this overall series 21-21-1.
All right, ooh, now you're making a point. But
and the average margin of victory over the last 4 games, 5 points.
All right, you sold me on this one, even though, geez, they gave us. I'm almost mad that they put this on a weekday spot.
It's either this or like Titans Jaguars. What are you gonna watch?
Troy, South Alabama.
You know, I'll say this as a UVA fan, while I wasn't really aware of this, I was quickly on UVA shortly after this game in 1990, where Georgia Tech cost UVA their only number one ranking of all times on a last second field goal. So I feel like UVA fans have always had a little bit of hatred for Georgia Tech in their hearts. So let's rekindle that on a weeknight.
I mean,
ACC.
I actually thought there was a better ACC game out there, but you're going with the one on Thursday night. I understand that argument, but that game, hey, Brandon Armstrong. Okay. I don't know. Something about Georgia Tech. I would say more so than any program in the country right now, Power Five wise, I think Georgia Tech's the most boringest team in college football.
I can't argue with that. They're
I think
they're
I'd rather watch Duke because you have Elko at least. You've made a transition. Yeah. Kansas has Leopold. I'm much more intrigued to see what happens there. Even Illinois
Vanderbilt,
with Bielma.
Vanderbilt's pretty fucking boring.
It's Vanderbilt or Georgia Tech, I think, is the two most boringest Power Five teams in the land right now.
Agreed.
How Georgia Tech, being in Atlanta, hasn't figured it out with the uniforms. You know,
they were figuring out with Paul Johnson, two Orange Bowls.
That's true. And they had figured out all throughout the 20th century with, I feel like in the 1950s
won a national championship.
There you go.
1990.
Not that long ago.
Dorsey Levins, William Bell,
Megatron. They've had some players. Yeah. They got to get it figured out.
Anyway. Yeah, I guess you played it. All right. I can't give you too much of a hard time. Let's go. Well, folks, these fucking games suck.
This is the college experience.
I'm taking you. We're staying in the ACC. We're staying in the ACC. I'm taking you to the Shack.
If you want a bunch of average games, ACC's got it.
Yeah, I'm taking you to the Shack. Pittsburgh, Narduzzi against Satterfield. This is better than Virginia at Georgia Tech, even though, man, I mean, both these teams going to go bowling. I was about to say that, but I don't fucking know. Wouldn't surprise.
I think Pitt does. I think Pitt definitely does. And Louisville probably gets to 6-6.
So give me Pittsburgh at Louisville and a barn burner at the Shack. Shop till you drop.
Could be a lot of offense. And I mean, you're right. If these two games are like at the same time, then I would go this one over UVA Georgia Tech, but they're not. Just want to be buried on a, you know, noon or a 3:30, you know, slate or a time slot on Saturday.
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's the best game out there left right now. I try to make a point for like Kansas State. I still think that's not as good as this game. So I think it's the best game available. All right, what's that?
I like it. Malik Cunningham, could he be a factor here? Will Pittsburgh?
Keaton Slovis against Cunningham.
Yeah, we got.
Yeah, that's a pretty good quarterback, man. Dude, ACC's got quarterbacks.
They are loaded up on some quarterbacks. So I think it's the best game available. But I want to tell folks out there that the college football experience is brought to you by Manscaped. Gentlemen, Father's Day is around the corner, and our friends at Manscaped are here to ensure that all father figures out there are looking daddy material this June. That is because Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0 is available, and that thing includes their signature lawnmower 4.0, and it's the perfect bundle to tackle any and all old man hair from head to toe. I mean, this right here is no dad joke, people. Treat him and yourself to and join the 4 million worldwide men. 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the promo code SGP at manscaped.com. Trust me, his dad bod will thank you. I mean, you can get 20% off plus free shipping with the code SGP at manscaped.com. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive right there. You get the free shipping. Use that promo code SGP. Shake what your mama gave you. No. It's a shake what your daddy gave you, people. We're also brought to you by Athletic Greens and their AG1 supplement. You're probably wondering, Colby, what the hell is this stuff? Well, with one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source, superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients that supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, your recovery, your focus, and your aging, all of those things, and it costs less than $3 a day. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/SGP. Once again, that is athleticgreens.com/SGP. It's hot as shit in the studio, isn't it?
It is.
God damn it. I feel like I'm in a fucking, I feel like I'm working for Phil Knight. I'm in a sweatshop in fucking Cambodia right now. Jesus. I look like, look at me online. Go follow our YouTube page. It looks like I'm fucking defusing a bomb. I just I look like Patrick Ewing in fucking the third quarter of a playoff game.
Dude, I'm putting God a fan under it. This desk because my balls Jesus. Are cooking.
Just I feel pretty good out here, guys. Over here.
Yeah. You know, I mean, granted, my internet sucks, but at least the air conditioner works.
Just absolute. What did I do? Are they trying to send me a message?
Right.
All right. Next up on the last show of my life. Let's go over to a Patty C back on the clock.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm surprised and I'm pretty sure I'm going to steal someone's thunder here and particularly Colby's, but so be it. We're going to the Mountain West.
Yes.
We're going to Laramie, Wyoming.
Oh, the quarterback exchange. Do you guys know about this? Levi Williams.
That's right. The transfers.
Levi Williams, quarterback of Wyoming, said, you know what? Fuck you, Craig Ball. I'm going down to Logan. Scattered ass going all through the town. And then Andrew Peasley, or Presley Peasley, I can't remember. He said, you know what? I'm transferring out. I'm going to Wyoming.
Oh man, that's great. When was the last time that happened?
Yeah, it's a very fun encounter they got going there.
And last year, Wyoming could not complete a forward pass, so they needed to shake something up with that passing game. Definitely,
Craig Bull is probably okay with that. You remember he won some natties at North Dakota State with like four passes a game. Utah State at Wyoming. Fuck, we should go to this one. This game's probably cooler than like 80% of the games we've played.
I'm trying to look up how far Laramie is from. It's a good 6 hour drive. It's not
from
that.
Logan. Damn,
from Logan. Yep.
I thought it was less than that.
Wyoming's a big ass state, even though
are some big states there.
Yeah. All that said, they're probably two of the closer teams to each other. And that's a semi regional flavor to this game. Certainly mountain flavor.
Did Utah State whoop their ass last year?
The score in that game was, what was that? Utah State won 44 to no.
Wyoming
won at Utah State. That's 44 to 17.
Dude, Blake Anderson's team's kind of a finesse team. Craig Bowles will punch you in your fucking throat, dude. So, like, I enjoy it. I enjoy watching Craig Bowles. You can make fun of the no passing, but you better be ready to play some football, Craig Bowles. Former played under Tom Osborne at Nebraska, and they do not mess around, man. They bring it to you.
Punch you in the face, yeah. Football. They did that to him last year. Utah State was the Mountain West champs, but that is a terrible loss.
Blake Anderson was sitting there saying after the game,
"What the fuck did I do wrong, Tom?"
Nick, what do you make of this one? We should go to this one.
It's a fun game. You could sign me up for that because it would be a nice time to go to Laramie up in Wyoming. So, okay, yeah, let's do it, man. Why not?
Yeah, man. Utah State of Wyoming. Definitely. Dude, this is better. I would rather go to this game than like 80% of the games we played.
How is Laramie? Is Laramie pretty nice?
I haven't been. That's why me I want to go. But still, I just feel like these are two little mountain teams going at it. I enjoy it. I think this game will probably be better than actually like from a viewing standpoint, it'll probably be better than like 80% of
beautiful.
The games.
Yeah. Holy Laramie, shit.
Laramie looks incredible, dude. We got to get up there. We got to get up there for a game. Nick, but what do you think? This is going to be a good matchup, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Wyoming was a little disappointing last year. I was expecting better. I think I went with the over and I think it was a pretty high number too. I think it was like over 8 or something.
You know, the problem though, man, when you play that style of football, it keeps you in, it makes like even the teams you should beat,
your margin of error is thin.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially when you have
like
a long
UVA
chair
basketball.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
You might just go ahead and lose the Navy or something, you know, or Maine
or UMBC.
Oh, you went there. Ouch.
Or you might just win the national championship. You could do that too.
There we go. We got his JMU hat on. All right. Just cherishing the days of Steve Hood.
Well, we did beat UVA the last time we played him in basketball.
That's true.
This looks like a Bob Ross painting up in Laramie.
We should we just move there? Just move all of SGPN there. Just sit out in the mountains.
Love it.
Smoking blunts and watching Wyoming football.
There you go.
It'd probably be cooler. Your balls wouldn't sweat as much.
That's true. Gosh, man, it's a sweatshop here.
You guys don't even come by. I'm in the South here. Okay, this is humid. A humid ass summer. You guys, what's it going to be like? 78 there tomorrow or something. Come on.
Yeah, we're LA sissies now.
Did you try what do they do with the peanuts? They deep fry those things, right?
In North Carolina?
I feel like in boiled? The South. I feel boiled like peanuts. Boiled, yeah. 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 You know he's, what I mean?
Not deep fried, boiled whatever. Peanuts.
How they're are good. Those things?
I like,
they good?
I like them. All right. Yeah. They're tasty.
Nick's a down south fucking
look. I go down
Dixie
New Orleans.
I get
drunk in New Orleans. I'm eating frog legs and all that shit. It's great.
Pig's
great.
Feet, all that shit.
All that stuff's delicious.
All
right,
what the fuck are we talking about? Let's go.
All right, look.
Am I up?
Yeah, but before we get there, I want to tell people that this is when we have to jump to part two of the episode. So 5 second pause.